Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnywell and Julie Hayden here on a bright Monday on the Truth Straight Up.
The Chuck and Julie Show.
The Chuck and Julie Show.
The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, HappyTrees.co, and Denver Synergenics, and Dr. Julie McCallan. Second part of the show, we're going to take, I guess, sort of a deep dive into the deep state. We talk about it, but I think some of the things the Twitter files have done, what you say, is sort of reveal just how extensive it is.
I can remember. I think that's David Horowitz.
Say, TJ, if you want to go ahead and call David Horowitz now, he's calling me. which leads us into the first part of the show. David Horowitz is going to join us. He's got a new book out.
The final battle. The next election could be the last.
Could be the last, where he talks about sort of how the left is taking over things and taking control of things. We've talked about that a lot, right? It's, you know, if the Republican Party doesn't get its act together and start battling this on so many fronts, I think we're going to, won't be the last actual election, but it could be the last one that actually.
The last election we had in Colorado, there's a re-election in 2014. There's not been a fair or decent right. election since then.
And we've talked at length about how Colorado is sort of an experiment, the trial
state, uh-huh.
Petri dish, exactly. So TJ, go ahead and try David now. I think he's off of my phone. I didn't want to answer, say hello.
Hello.
But on the deep state too, somebody was joking, how long does it take these days to go from a conspiracy theory to the truth? And that's about 2 weeks anymore. But we do have David Horowitz with us. David Horowitz with the Horowitz Freedom Center, author of a new book, New York bestselling author, The Final Battle, The Next Election Could Be the Last. Hey, David, thank you for your time this afternoon.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yes. So tell
us about the book and why you decided to write it.
So the news this week is that we have a criminal president who's an unbelievably shameless liar. He's and probably as an agent of influence for the Chinese Communist Party. I wrote the book because we're approaching the end of our tether. The Democrat Party is a radical party. I grew up as a radical. And the one thing I came to realize as I was leaving the left was that in order to be a radical, you have to have a criminal mentality.
Right.
Which means you want to use the words of Barack Obama, transform America. You want to create a whole new world so you don't have any respect for the institutions, traditions, knowledge, wisdom of the past, and no respect for the laws. And that's why Biden began his administration by committing the greatest, most heinous crime ever committed against this country by destroying our borders. Yeah, and he had no authority, none, to do that. He's the head of the executive branch whose authority and obligation is to enforce the law, as Barack Obama explained before he broke the law, the immigration law. Congress is the authority for making laws and changing them. So what Biden has done to the border, in addition to letting in hundreds of thousands of criminals, you just have to look at what they did to the hotel in New York, all 28 floors trashed. Those are people that already hate us.
Right.
And we don't even know who they are. It's a nightmare.
We can hope there are more Venezuelans than anybody else because they got to live under socialism in Venezuela and didn't particularly like it. But there are people from all over the world coming in.
We've had that here.
Yeah, but you don't know who sent them from Venezuela. We know nothing about these people.
The prisons and everything. Well, talk about, the final battle.
The first solution to the invasion of our country by 5 million people whose motives we have no idea of and whose histories we have no idea of is to put in jail all the people, starting with Mayorkas, all these people who colluded with Biden and breaking the law.
Yeah.
Well, there's no
they're
question
criminals.
About that. They are criminals.
They are criminals.
And I've said about the Democratic Party, ever since 1876, where the Republican Party in a crooked deal with the Democratic nominee Tilden agreed to let Hayes be president in return for putting the South back into segregation and ending
the Democrats are the party of slavery and segregation.
And if you look at every election since that time, the Democratic Party basically cheated in every election as much as they could. They controlled the South because they prevented any blacks from voting who would have voted Republican. They voted in the big cities like New York with Tammany Hall and Flynn up in Boston.
Hey, you can write my book.
but
the final battle
the
begins.
They only got the votes once
they
became Democrats. Once they became Democrats, then Democrats made sure they got the vote. They've been cheating, lying, stealing for every election for well over 125 years, and Republicans do nothing about it. They have never done anything about it. They just let them do it. They're just too cowardly.
That better change quickly, or we don't have a republic anymore.
Right.
Democrats have been driving for a one-party state. Their mentality is that of fascists.
We live in a one-party state in Colorado. Colorado's a one-party state. They
for
cheated.
Purposes.
They cheated. They did all the ballot harvesting.
But you got to take some responsibility. The Republican Party in the state is as lame as they come.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree totally.
Why did they say no exceptions for abortion no exceptions for non-abortion or whatever he said.
Right. Yes, Colorado, exactly.
Yeah, what is it? He's not right. This isn't a church. This is politics.
Right.
Jesus. And how stupid is Heidi Ginnally doing the same thing?
You could
Who
do our show.
Them about their opinions on abortion anyway?
Right.
But
well, what about...
An extreme position... And frighten everybody. That's good politics, huh?
Yes.
Anyway. I guess so.
Well, you guys have talked about the Democrat Party cheating for 100 years, but it seems to me that with the COVID and the election law changes, and I think this is what you talk about in your book, isn't it? I mean, things are on steroids now. They have, their agenda, they're radical. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, people ask the wrong question about the 2020 election. Whether it was fixed or not. Of course, the Democrats claim that it was the fairest election in human history. It's interesting how they manage to tell lies that are so transparent and ridiculous on their face, and you have to suspect the people who are forming the lies. But the answer to whether it was fixed or not is completely unknown. Nobody knows. Because there was no audit of the election. In fact, the Democrats said anybody who questions an election is a treasonous.
Yes.
But what you can say is the Democrats conducted a massive campaign to make it easier to cheat.
Right.
We had a problematic election in 2000 between Bush and Gore. And it had to be settled by the Supreme Court. So after that, Jimmy Carter and James Baker, who was Bush's chief of staff, formed a bipartisan election reform commission to make recommendations. And every recommendation, this is all in my book, but every recommendation they made, Democrats reversed. Democrats say that the most important thing in keeping integrity in the elections is to put in more laws requiring voter IDs. And of course, the Democrats turned that upside down and said that was voter suppression.
Yeah.
Identifying the voter. Yeah. It's suppressing all the dead people they vote in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Colorado,
all the illegals.
Right. Well, just the people who, the homeless people, you know, in Colorado, we had one house that had like, you know, a little house had like 144 people, ballots were sent there. I mean, like literally, right? And they say, oh no, we have the gold standard here.
Well, that's the Republicans who say we have the gold standard. It is the head of the Republican Party who says it's a gold standard. Are our Congress people.
The solution to the homeless problem is simple. You just create institutions for people with mental problems who are a danger to themselves and others and sleeping on the streets. You reinstitute the vagrancy laws so that people, it's illegal to sleep on the streets. And you put them in an institution and you get all the do-gooding leftists who are in the caring professions to take care of them in a place where they're protected.
Right. Except for the caring organizations.
You don't give them
the
money.
Money laundering.
You don't give them houses, which they don't want anyway. Mm. Anyway, this is a distraction from my book.
Well, so go back to, so you think that we have reached a point then, you know, it's, you know, that this is the last time that after this, I mean, talk about why you'd think maybe we don't have till 2026 or after that.
Oh, because the Democrats have shown with the January 6th incidents, you see the mentality is so criminal.
Right.
They called it an armed insurrection.
Yeah. Right.
With no evidence. And when no arms were discovered, they claimed that five Capitol Police officers were killed by these vicious domestic terrorists. The actual number of officers killed is zero.
Right.
Only one person was killed on January 6th, and that's Ashley Babbitt, 14-year Air Force veteran, 5-foot-tall, unarmed, and it's all on videotape, so
there's
really no argument about it. She was threatening no one at the time. She was just murdered in cold blood. Nancy Pelosi protected the murderer.
Yeah,
Michael
she
Burr,
put him in an army base for a month.
She kept his name hidden.
Yes.
She quashed the investigation and then gave him a medal for defending the Capitol.
Yeah.
So the Democrat Party is capable of murder at its highest levels. And I can't for the life of me understand why Republicans haven't been shouting this from the rooftops. Let her retire as though she should be honored. She did more to destroy our Constitution than any single individual in our history.
Because you grew up with radicals. I grew up with Rockefeller Republicans. Rockefeller Republicans are spineless. They're gutless. I mean, we watch all these people on January 6th go into prisons.
Still in prison.
With no bail, with nothing, and kicked victim for decades.
An incipient fascist state.
Yes.
Biden is a fascist, you know, insofar as he's making decisions at all.
Yeah.
He's also a traitor.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that he's not an agent of influence for the Chinese.
Well, or at least he used to be. Agent of influence for anything right now, but other people around him. Well, in your book, because I know you'll have to go here in a few minutes, in your book, do you talk about what do we do? Or is it too late? Or is it just arming ourselves with
knowledge? No, I think really great things are happening. First of all, there's big shifts going on in the country, which weren't really registered in the midterms. But there's a lot of movement towards the Republican Party, particularly from minorities, which is the Democrats' whole election strategy is to scare the pee out of minorities, like we're going to, Republicans will burn their churches and kinds of lies like that. And that's worn off. For the first time, we have statesmen, like Byron Donalds, there's a lot of them, I think, and people willing to fight in the Republican Party. Secondly, yes. Donald Trump has created the first mass conservative movement in the history of the country with those rallies he has.
Yeah.
Right. Third of all, you have this grassroots parents revolt in the schools.
Yeah.
You know, I when I was young and stupid, I described myself as a Marxist revolutionary. But I would have been horrified at castrating little children in the schools, hiding what you're doing from their parents. Naming them for life, for crying out to you. These people are evil. Those school boards, the teacher unions are the worst enemies of children in our country. And they have been for years and years and years. And they're the cash register for the Democratic Party.
Yes.
But I think there's a national revolt going on. I saw Dave Rubin, maybe it was a video of Dave Rubin, I don't know, saying that 975,000 people have left California in the last 3 years, and 800,000, not the same people, but anyway, have moved to Florida. So there's great shifts going on. And I think that, you know, who discovered all these classified documents that probably were hiding Hunter's crimes in Biden's garage? It was his own people.
Yes.
It wasn't Republicans who discovered them. It was Democrats.
No.
There's just lawyers. It's like, you need better lawyers. It's like,
yeah, there are plenty of crooked lawyers out there.
Just the fact, you know, and the optics. Besides that they raided Trump's home when, you know, he was working with the National Archives or whoever is the authority in that. What they have done to Trump is unprecedented in the history of the world.
Well, and you know, though, it's
defamation. The idea that Trump is a white nationalist is such a stupid
and
lie.
anti-Semitic with Jewish.
Orthodox Jewish kids.
No, they do that. Well, final question, because again, I know you have to go here, but so you're saying, it sounds like you're kind of saying there's a little bit of hope. There are shifts going on, and that's reason for hope.
Yeah, they're what they call tectonic shifts.
Okay.
They're huge. They're not small. All these Hispanics who are joining the Republican Party, getting elected to Congress.
Yeah.
That's big stuff.
That's just big.
And of course, these illegals, who is the MS-13 gangsters going to prey on? Going to prey on Hispanic people.
And recruit from.
Poor.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly.
Well, that's so much. Thank you for coming on. I know you have to go.
The title of my book is Final Battle. The next election could be the last. I think you'll be convinced when you read the book.
I think so,
and
too.
For your listeners, it's in every Costco and Sam's Club and BJ's, which is the East Coast.
Okay. Fantastic.
In addition to being on Amazon and everywhere.
You get it everywhere, then.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for writing the book. Thank you very much there. David Horowitz, author of The Final Battle, The Next Election Could Be the Last. I know David also just is with the Horowitz Freedom Center.org. We had several guests come from there. Okay, we've got like a slew of comments. Let me read those. I want to kind of talk about some deep state stuff. This is from Charlene. Republicans suppress dead people voting. LOL, so unfair. Sandra says about illegals, you pick them up and send them back to their own countries. 1980s. Leo says his dead grandmother only voted three times in 2020, all Democrat. That was the difference there. Let's see. Dr. Donna, Clinton seemed to have friends that off themselves. Yeah, you know what? There's interesting stuff coming out about Seth Rich, too. From Charlene, Rhinos, McCarthy and McConnell were at that medal ceremony. Oh, where the police officer got the thing. Sandra, that movement happened in 2020. Many supported Trump, which is why the Democrats had to cheat. Sandra, it's so good to hear from a former Marxist communist with good things to say about conservatives and right-leaning people. Less government. We need our lives back. And from Charlene, the Biden docudrama is coordinated op with McCarthy involved to get Republicans on board for another circus. There's so much to talk about here and so much to unpack. And what I wanted to do was talk a little bit because, I've been saying and will continue to say, I think the Twitter files and frankly, I mean, Elon Musk deserves every medal of freedom that we can.
Some kind of Nobel Prize.
I don't think even he had any idea. Maybe he did. He's a smart guy about what this was going to reveal. But what's coming out of the Twitter files, I think, is bigger and hopefully will do more to shift things than even what David Horowitz was saying. Because, yes, he's right. The Democrats are an awful organization. But I don't think the Democrats are just part of an alliance, I guess I would say. And what the Twitter files have done is really laid clear. Like I was saying, it was a conspiracy theory 6 months ago. Now we know that it's true. Every conspiracy theory, by the way, has turned out to be absolutely
true.
Well,
as a practical matter, the phrase deep state was thought to be an exaggeration, a fun exaggeration, but an exaggeration, and basically replying back to Turkey and their Ataturk and his successors, where they were the bureaucracy and the police and the military would make sure that radical Islamics did not take over Turkey, and it didn't matter who got elected, they'd get rid of them.
Yeah.
And so we've got a ho. That's not really what we have. We have some people in the
French, like a nickname.
Now you go no. There is a deep state. It has controlled this country. Has controlled it for a long time. All of a sudden, we find out the CIA was involved in Kennedy's death, and they did take down Nixon along with the FBI, and you just go through all the lines.
Exactly. And I think so it's been there, but I think and we'll get into who we think that is or what we think it is, but I think what happened is with social media and the explosion of social media, all of a sudden it made their lives so much easier, right? So I want to kind of walk you through, we have some sound bites to talk about some of the things that the Twitter files have revealed, because it is so much more than just them kind of asking that that Alex Berenson be censored. I mean, it's way more than that.
You have to remember that Trump was always criticized for being on Twitter, but Trump himself, and he is a good critic of the media, said, I would not have won the election if it was not for Twitter. And he meant it. And it's true.
And I think they saw that.
Yes.
And they're like, we have to take control of Twitter. Because what Twitter does, even though a lot of people aren't on it, is I think for a lot of the media organizations, right wing, alternative, you name it, it kind of helps push a story out there. And the other thing I will just, this is just sort of an aside, but reporters are so lazy, and in part newsrooms are so short staffed, that it's much easier rather than actually finding somebody, a source, calling them up, going to their house, interviewing them. If you can just go on Twitter and search keywords, you can build your whole story. And then Twitter made it worse because now you don't even have to leave your basement. But I'm going to play some sound bites from a guy named David Sachs. He was a co-founder of PayPal along with Elon Musk, right? Mm-hmm. And close friends of Elon Musk. And he was explaining exactly how this is working. He says, so these reporters that Elon Musk has given access to the Twitter files, it's kind of, I guess, like kind of asking for deposition. So what they do is they can ask the Twitter, basically lawyers, essentially, to give them emails. They can search for keywords, and then they give them thousands of documents and they have to go through. And I think that's why it's taking so long. But in so doing, this is what they're finding. One of the things they found is what they haven't found. What's missing, but what they have found are like breadcrumbs that lead to it. And he talks about, so we know now that the FBI set up an 80-agent task force whose sole purpose was to essentially censor Twitter, to censor narratives they didn't like and to push narratives that they being the deep state, wanted to get out. Now, they didn't want to leave a trace of that, being the deep state, of course, right? So they used a specific kind of internet tool. It sounds kind of like Snapchat that the kids use, where number one, apparently you can't take a screen grab of it. You know how you could do that, right? And it deletes itself after like 10 days. And that's one of the key ways they were communicating with Twitter. So if we could please, Thomas, play the Sachs number one soundbite.
One of the things that we've learned from the Twitter files is that the FBI had a special tool for communicating with Twitter and presumably other big tech companies and providing them with secret instructions. So the way it worked is it was called teleport. And so you saw in a lot of these Twitter file emails from the FBI to Yoel Roth, they're saying, you know, go look on teleport. There's a document there that'll explain, you know, what's going on. And so these documents would then be on teleport and then they would disappear after 10 days or whatever it was. And they couldn't be photographed or what have you, screenshotted through this tool. It was a very weird detail, and it shows the way that our government prefers to operate, which is in secrecy.
And he talks about when Twitter would, like, for instance, we've talked about the Devin Nunes memos, right? Mm-hmm. When the release of memo, and what they would do is, you know, they started pushing the narrative on Twitter and that this was Russian bots. And Twitter would say, no, it's not Russian
pushing
bots.
Pushing the story.
Yeah, pushing the story. Twitter would say, no, it's not. So then they would turn around, they being the deep state.
Go to the media, and then the media accused Twitter of all kinds of crimes, said, shut up.
Right. And so Twitter would be like, okay, fine. I guess it's Russian bots. Oh, in the meantime, they paid him $3.5 million.
Well, that's, you know.
So that's what they were doing. And, you know, we're going to play a Matt Taibbi soundbite here in a minute. But what he explains is he said, we're not talking about a dozen accounts or 100 accounts. He said, we're talking about thousands and thousands of accounts, some of them with almost no
and
followers.
Thousands of people from the government
doing
contributing it.
We're not talking, there's much more. We'll get to that in a second. But one of the other things they started doing, the FBI, they again being the deep state, that is even more alarming, is they were then, if the government, say, wants to get information sometimes from tech companies or cell phone companies, theoretically, they have to get a warrant. They have to have probable cause to that the person that a crime has been committed. Because keep in mind, the FBI is involved here, even though there are no crimes being committed. In fact, we now know most of the stuff they were suppressing was actually true, right? It wasn't misinformation.
That's a thought. True are thought crimes.
True straight up is a thought crime. Mm-hmm. But what they were doing that's even worse is they were using Twitter to go around the legal requirements for them to do surveillance and spy on people, and they were just doing it through Twitter. So if we could please play the David Sachs soundbite number two.
Yes. So, I mean, what basis is there for the FBI, first of all, to even be engaged in censorship on social media at the extent they were? One of the big revelations of the Twitter file is that the FBI had something like 80 agents flagging posts on social media to be taken down. Quite extraordinary. A lot of those posts were just completely harmless. There were people making jokes and so forth. FBI didn't really approach this with much of a sense of humor. But, you know, the larger point is just you had this large-scale operation of the FBI demanding that post being taken down. They were acting as a conduit for other similar requests coming from many other parts of our government, the so-called intelligence community, be it the CIA, Department of Homeland Security, and on it went. They were, in the words of the FBI Bureau San Francisco field office chief, they were the belly button for the U.S. Federal government, meaning they were the centralized conduit through which all of these censorship requests were made, as well as surveillance requests. I mean, they were surveilling American social media postings on a large scale.
And he talks about how what they were doing, and I think Matt Taibbi talks about that in a bite we'll play too, is so they were asking Twitter to go basically to trace it back, right? To find the computer address. They were at times asking Twitter to give them the geolocation of the person who was sending the tweet. And now let's just back up, okay, for a second too. And I mean, we're looking at the little camera here, and all of you guys on Zoom are probably looking at your little camera too. It cracks me up. My daughter keeps a piece of tape over that. I mean, how it is possible to hack into that. So if they know, if the FBI then is going back and they're finding your phone, they're finding out where you are. You know, you remember when they arrested Mike Lindell, they were, FBI did. They were
tracking
him.
John
Eastman is at a restaurant, right? Getting off a train, right?
Minnesota or something.
Mike Lindell is at a hunting trip. They can then follow you around. And they were apparently doing this, right?
Well, and, obviously.
Yeah. And so we know all that from the Twitter files. And so, again, this is a deep state in action, I think, I mean, worse than any conspiracy theory, I think.
Yeah. No,
you
no,
could have had.
No, they're far worse. They're far more criminal. Everything they do is criminal.
That's right. And that's something, you know, is it a coincidence the World Economic Forum is just starting and all of a sudden Biden's in trouble? That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. We're going to get to that. And I want to then play one of the things that Matt Taibbi, he was on Maria Bartiromo over the weekend that he was talking about. He said, so you had this FBI task force of 80 people. And we're going to get into some questions I have about this in a second. But he said, on top of that, though, they learned that there were between at least 500 to 1,000 that he can kind of count people from multiple agencies that were feeding requests through the FBI to censor stuff. He said from every state. So you had people in Colorado censoring, trying to censor election information, COVID information. He said they actively had a campaign to suppress the truth about COVID, the Biden laptop, the Russia hoax, and now we know the Biden documents, at least, right, although right. The truth is coming out of that. In the meantime, they created a campaign to spread what we now know to be lies about COVID. And so it was all to create this narrative and then to spy on people, anybody who they felt might not agree with them. If we could play, please, the Matt Taibbi soundbite, Thomas.
And there you might see something like the FBI asking for user identification or IP addresses or handles, and in some cases, even things like geolocation of individual accounts. Now, the problem is we don't always see the other side of these transactions, but we can definitely see the government asking for these things. So these are things that they're not entitled to, usually without a subpoena or without a warrant, but they're asking for them anyway because they have a very close relationship with these companies. And in some cases, we're not talking about a few accounts. We're talking about thousands of accounts where they're asking for handles or IP addresses or other information.
Unbelievable.
And that, I think, is very dangerous. Yeah.
Very dangerous. Of course, this is stunning. This is right out of the Communist China playbook.
But, and it is, mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's exactly what it's out of. And you know that if they're doing it for Twitter, right?
Facebook,
Google, YouTube.
Well, yeah.
And now here are my questions, okay?
Here
are my questions. It's like, who told the FBI to do this? I mean, you put it well. Explain, the FBI is probably not the main brains behind all this.
No, they're not. You know, people who go into law enforcement, FBI, or people who like to be out in the field, often they're not intellectually inclined. That doesn't mean they're dumb, but they're not intellectually inclined. Where the intellectually inclined people are if you're a lawyer, you know, you can join the FBI. You can also join the Justice Department. And the Justice Department is where you get the brainiacs, the ones that are always coming up with theories and laws they think ought to be interpreted. And there's one division called the National Security Division of the Justice Department that is not even over. There's no oversight by various people. I'm sure it has some theoretical oversight, but many of us exempt the National Security Division. And so I have a feeling that they're the ones who do the planning. They sit there, they're a cabal of friends. They've been in the National Security Division probably for 10, 15 years. And they're the ones to discuss everything, go over it with Merrick Garland to the extent they bother to include him, and then send out the instructions to Homeland Security, to the FBI, to everybody else, and get approval. You know, they call Susan Rice.
Barack Obama, who caused BlackRock, who caused the World Economic Forum. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like you said, I don't see Christopher Wray.
That's where fair, you know, that's where a lawfare comes in, because they are former justice attorneys who have gotten a private practice and now are ensconced over at the Brookings Institute. As we know, you know, the main source for the Steele dossier was Igor Jaichenko, who was at the Brookings Institute. So you have lawfare, National Security Division.
Arabella, which is a dark Democrat, dark money.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Yeah, that's where certainly money comes.
I mean, I think the people, and I'm hoping that Jim Jordan and those guys, these are the questions that they ask, because there are answers to that, right? Somebody who set up the task force knows who told them, and that person knows who told them. I mean, I don't for a second think, like you said, Christopher Wray goes, oh, I know, I think we should set up a task force, right? No, someone told him to set up a task force that was immediately used, as he said, the flow through from all these other Department of Defense, Homeland Security, all these other agencies.
National Security Division.
You know,
Director of Intelligence.
I mean, so what is alarming about this is this effort to spy on us, this effort to create these campaigns, this effort to, this was organized. This wasn't something organic. I mean, they've been doing it for a while, but I think all of a sudden with the social media thing and they saw through COVID, I think all of a sudden they could scare people by saying, we're going to kill people if you give them false information about COVID. And they could start, somebody said, voila, I mean, we can start doing this big time. So this is an organized, well thought out strategy that, but for Elon Musk, would still be going on. The other question is who funded it? Who agreed to, for the FBI to, somebody wrote a $3.5 million.
Oh, that would be easy. They've got so many slush accounts. So that's, that'd be a joke.
It's not like the Bourne identity, you know, when we look at this.
The Bourne identity, those guys were nice in comparison to these people.
Exactly. So, and I want to get into, because Jacob says Obama and Soros.
You know, it's interesting in New York, you know, they had a choice back in the 1940s. El tutte tutte, the boss of bosses. And they decided not to, that they, you know, that would attract, that one person would attract all the attention and bring the, so they said, let's have five families. You're all independent. Then you have a council gets together and helps make decisions, and some bosses are stronger than others. And that's maybe how this works. There isn't just one.
Right.
There's just,
it's not John Brennan.
It's not John Brennan, but there's a council somewhere. They get together.
And I want to get into that a little bit, but I want to play one final soundbite, and that kind of is talking about this deep state, which I think is, it's not just, and the conservative treehouse guy has been talking about this forever, but it's not just this vague kind of, you know, amorphous. Mitch McConnell. I mean, Mitch McConnell is just, is a minion, I think, of the deep state. But if we could please play the deep state soundbite, this is again with David Sachs.
The elected branches of our government are being made subordinate to the rules and regulations that are created by basically the deep state. I mean, the National Archivist. I mean, what Biden is doing, like, you know, if Biden were Trump right now, how would Trump be reacting to it? He'd be saying, listen, I'm the president of the United States. I'll just say these documents are not classified anymore, right? I don't report to the National Archivist. But Biden basically is paying obeisance to this bureaucrat in the National Archives. But this is the way that the government works now, is that, again, our elected representatives are now being made subordinate to the procedures that are created by the deep state. Who gave them that authority? You know, what is the check on that authority?
And the answer is there is none. Remember, was it Schiff who said, you know, the deep state will get you 15 ways?
Schumer.
I mean,
seven ways to Sunday.
And he wasn't kidding. And so now who is then the deep state? I think you're right. I think the bottom, not maybe the bottom left, but sort of a lower level arm of the deep state clearly is the FBI.
Yeah, they're the street cops.
Right.
They've always been street
cops. I mean, because again, you could argue, you know, I mean, people who are talking about the Biden document dump and some of this Twitter file stuff, well, this happened, it said, under President Trump's FBI. And it's like, it wasn't President
Trump's FBI.
I mean, yeah, President Trump's FBI lied on FISA warrants to investigate, and right, and created dossiers to get after him. So you got the FBI, and then I think you're right. You probably have the Department of Justice, Homeland Security, somebody in there.
National Security Division, because it's a pool of all the very, very smart people. And they come up with things, and they have some, you know, Brennan and Clapper had ways of communicating. So they're, you know, that's how they get the word out to the other divisions and stuff. Because I don't think there is just Obama sitting at home all day.
This is, it's interesting that the World Economic Forum, there's some like 80 people, both Democrats and Republicans, people in Biden's administration going to the World Economic Forum.
Now, Chris Ray's there, FBI guy.
His FBI director doing at the World Economic Forum. He's being hooked into the matrix. Yeah. And the little thing in his brain.
Right.
And so this is from Charlene. The World Economic Forum has been in operation and run by Carl Schwab since 1971. Klaus Schwab, I think it is. And then Charlene says he brags about being in control of government entities like Trudeau, et cetera, that go through the leadership courses. It's kind of like the Democrats here. What's it called? Emily's List or whatever the Emerge, the training program here. And then Leo points out, Julie, that's why he keeps all of his classified documents in our garage, not his.
Well, you know, it's an amazing thing where the province of Alberta is run by the conservatives and a very conservative group. And so they were, they said, we're not going to do these COVID mandate things and force people to not
cross borders and so forth. And then they see all these orders coming out from their own health department demanding those things, saying this will be done, this will be done. And they said, what are you doing?
Right.
And they said, well, we're doing this pursuant to our agreement with the World Economic Forum, a treaty between the health department of Alberta, Canada, and Klaus Schwab's group.
It's like, and I know now, and this, you may remember back after the 2020 election, Time magazine did that story, The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election.
It was
I mean, it was this, and she was talking about this cabal, basically, of left-wing activists and business titans. And I think these people were just a puppet, like you said, of the mm-hmm. five big families, too. I mean, that's the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the AFL-CIO. I think they may get involved and they may have a stay, don't think so.
Yes, all those things, but they're just trying to, basically the Chamber of Commerce, it's a lobbying group.
Right.
You pay them millions of dollars and they will go to individual politicians and say, you need to get this in this bill. And if it's ever discovered, that the chamber just goes, what are you talking about? We're just protecting our business friend,
right.
who's a, Median cartel member. I mean, there's nothing wrong here. Nothing not to see.
Then I got to wonder, and I mean, it would be interesting if someplace at the, so I think the cabal that she talks about, again, that's sort of a lower level thing. I think that there are, and as Charlene points out, I think it is interesting. That's right. George Soros, and I guess Klaus Schwab pulled out too, said they're too busy to go to the World Economic
Forum. Yeah.
Those guys are old. I don't know about that. But I mean, it is.
Klaus Schwab isn't that old. Soros is that old. Schwab is there on the Zoom call to them all.
And I think, yeah, exactly. But I think, when you say, okay, who is a deep state? Because I think it's important to think about that. We know how, and because thanks to the Twitter files, we're getting essentially the onion layers are being peeled back and we're able to see all the different layers that they are. And we're seeing how it actually operates essentially in ways that affect our lives. But again, it goes back to who's calling the shots. And I think you're right. There's not like one guy sitting someplace, but I think you've got an alliance. My guess would be you've got these very progressive activists, not just in the United States, but around the world, who want to essentially redistribute the wealth to themselves. Right.
And what's the connection with the Chinese government? I mean, Klaus Schwab has, or Trudeau is the one who said, he loves the model of the Chinese Communist Party and the control over its people. I mean, I am sure the Chinese communists are consulted because they're the second world's largest economy.
Spy on your citizens. Oh, that's a great idea.
What torture tools do you like the best? They get the best results.
Some guy at the World Economic Forum is proposing that we all get assigned, just like if you're a household now, right?
Ration card.
A ration card for how much carbon footage you're allowed to put out. Yeah. And if you go over that, then you have to pay a fine. Now,
and that fine, of course, is waived if you're rich.
Right. Well, or if you're rich, you can
care, but they don't, even then they don't like to pay it.
It starts out small, right? There are places, and now in Denver, I think, is doing it every so often. It comes around in Westminster.
Yeah.
They want to limit, and Aurora, they want to limit how big your yard can be, how much water you can use, how much garbage you can throw away, right? They want to charge you more for this, which means they want to monitor it, right? And so, again, this is multi-layered. And I think one of the things that gives me hope is, one, Elon Musk, I think they probably hate him more than they hate Donald Trump now, right? Donald Trump just refused to play ball. Donald Trump was supposed to get in and be like all the other
presidents. Yeah, I expected him to.
And have some, whoever it is, come sit down and talk to him in a dark, cafe somewhere and explain how things
work. Like they do here in the Republican Party in Colorado.
Exactly. And instead, he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then people loved it, right? And he was like, for America first. But I think you're right, Chuck. I think you've got these, like BlackRock, the world's giant, largest hedge fund, everybody and their mother from BlackRock, they work for BlackRock. Their mother works in the Biden administration. That's not an accident, right? That's not an accident. Let's see. Jim is saying McCarthy is waiting for the right place to put it. Okay, we missed some of the comments there. That's why the government, Jacob, that's why the government wants to eliminate natural gas so they can monitor your electric usage. Exactly. Because you know what? I'm not sure how it all works, but I suspect it's a little bit easier. Natural gas kind of flows in a pipeline, right? So I suspect it's a little bit easier to turn off the electricity to your house than it is to turn off the natural gas. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know how that all works, but I mean, you know, I mean, we've seen them do that, right? Remember those poor people in Denver? We're probably
I'm
one
sure
of them.
Who had the new
Well, right. But electricity, they can do it from some central headquarters. Charlene, Switzerland set a ceiling of 5,000 troops who will serve in support during the World Economic Forum, which will run from January 10th to the 26th. Oh, great. So the government is involved in that.
Oh, no. The Swiss government was the biggest financial supporter of the World Economic Forum because it's held in Davos, Switzerland, and in part, and in response to the fact that all their secrecy laws are being shredded by the U.S. government, and they wanted to gain some power back to stop them, you know, going after all their financial institutions. So Switzerland recently said that, you know, we're not going to give as much to the World Fund, but then they're going to give 5,000 troops. I mean, it's part of the Switzerland government has a huge role to do in the World Economic Forum. They just keep their, you know,
security for these rich people. Well, and it's interesting. And I think, you know, I mean, as David Sachs said, I think we're seeing that that's true, that the elected officials have become subordinate to the deep state. And I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's what we're seeing with this Biden document drama. Now, you know, the hypocrisy about the way they handled Biden versus Trump aside. You're a lawyer, Chuck. Let's say you're searching my house and you find secret classified documents that I'm not supposed to have. I mean, would the first thing you do would be to call up the FBI? I mean, you'd think you'd call me for, I mean, what's a lawyer's obligation there, right? I mean,
well, what is instructions?
Well, yeah, well, and who's instructing him?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's not Joe Biden saying, hey, guys, can you go search my house? And if you find any evidence of a crime, you just hand it right over to the FBI because that's transparent. No, you know, Joe Biden. And so all of that aside, though, I think what we're seeing is, and I imagine the White House must be in a bit of a panic, at least Jill is, because she probably understands. And Congress, too, because he's like, wait a minute, if I don't have the protection of my dad, what's going to happen to me? But I think that the deep state seems to be abandoning Biden.
Wasn't that touching that Hunter Biden went to a Memphis court to argue that his illegitimate daughter shouldn't be able to call herself a Biden because she'd be harassed the rest of her life? Because he cares deeply.
He won't give a child support.
Yeah, he fought every penny giving her child support, but doesn't want to call the Biden.
That Delaware house must be pretty fancy. What, he was paying $50,000? A month in rent to his dad for that house? No, I think that could be money laundering too. But anyway, I think if you're Biden, go ahead.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
There was an article what's the guy's name on the morning? Anyway, he was pointing out that the cost of that apartment was $49,192 a month.
Right.
You know, usually when you rent an apartment, it's like $350 a month, or $375 or $4,000.
Right.
So why did they come down? And then he multiplied it, and he says it came out to, I think it was $80,000 a year, which turns out to be 10% of what Biden
was. 10% to the big guy. All right.
Yeah. So that was that. Okay.
And right yeah. I mean, yeah, you read that and you're like, I mean, that's his dad, for Pete's sakes. You think his dad?
Yeah, I'll let you have it for $180,000.
Yeah,
the cost, $50,000. The house didn't cost $180,000 originally, but okay.
Biden couldn't figure out where his documents are, but he was accurate enough to put in the rental that it was 49,816.166666666. That's how accurate.
That's great.
All right.
Good point.
All right.
Good point.
Thank you, sir. well, yeah, and it's ridiculous. But also, I think the fact that it's coming out now, that whoever were the powers that be, and it wasn't Biden, and it wasn't, again, I think the FBI. I mean, somebody decided, okay, we want this to come out because we want to get rid of Biden. We don't want it to come out before the midterms because that gets too messy.
That's the Justice Department.
Okay. And so they release it afterwards. And then they do this steady drip, 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 right?
Right.
And they allow, I think, foolishly, Biden to look for it.
Right. Explain it to everybody.
Like how the Ramses were allowed to
tell them about the Corvette, too. That's a good point. That's always an excellent point. So, get that in there.
writings on the wall for him. But you got to wonder, who is the deep state grooming then, right? We've seen the world.
Maybe.
You think the World Economic Forum, you know, it runs, you know, Pete Buttigieg, I think that's long gone. I think
he's a little iffy.
The transportation issues proved to be, too much. And he doesn't even respond correctly. So you got to wonder who it is they're pushing. You think Gavin Newsom? I don't know. But whatever, they think Biden is out. It's not going to be Kamala Harris, even though she's very good at knowing where the Caribbean is.
Michelle Obama is way too happy being the queen and doesn't want to go all, under all the pressure and stuff.
No, she's just reaping the benefits. So we'll have to see what more comes out because, you know, again, we don't have the Fauci files. I think that's going to be interesting because I want to see how orchestrated was it to shut us all down. I will say this. I think that was, as painful as it was, in the long term, that'll prove to have been a pretty significant miscalculation on their part. I think the deep state, it operates well when it does operate under the surface, under the radar.
You don't
right?
even notice. It's
definitely affecting you when it's affecting people who maybe pass policies and things. But I think with the COVID thing and the lockdowns and now all that we're learning about the vaccine and more than that, what we're learning, they knew about the vaccine.
And knew about things. That cured it like ivermectin and then they
that I think that. Was not under the radar and all of a sudden you combine that and it's clear there is a deep state. Our elected officials don't have very much power, which makes almost David Horowitz's thing, I mean it very well could be.
Who cares about the last election?
the final election. So but anyway, that's it. I just wanted to do that kind of a deep state walkthrough because I think you have to keep your eyes open.
After you.
You're not paranoid. Or just because you're paranoid doesn't mean it's true.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much. We'll see you again on
Wednesdays. Thanks, everybody. See you, Alan. We love you all. Remember, chuckandjulie.com for all our shows. We'll see you Wednesday.